Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to today's show where I welcome Kirsten Franklin. And Kirsten is a motivational speaker, relationship expert, best-selling author of The Breakup Book of Affirmations, Words of Encouragement to Help You Move On, and co-founder of The Relationship Recovery with her partner, Tiffany Denny. And today, Kirsten and I talk about toxic relationships, how our subconscious keeps us in toxic relationships, how to talk about your partner if you feel like you're in a toxic relationship. You don't always have to leave a toxic relationship. You can work on it. You can communicate with your partner. People can change. There are instances where you should leave, and we talk about that and everything in between. I really enjoyed this conversation with Kirsten. I think you guys will too. As always, thank you so much for tuning in, for leaving those 5-star reviews on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to this podcast. Enjoy today's show. Hi, Kirsten. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Hi, Chase. I'm excited to be here.
Today, we're going to talk about how and why our subconscious keeps us in toxic relationships. And we've talked about in the past on the show, like how to leave a toxic relationship, recognizing you're in one, but we haven't really zeroed in and talked about maybe this deeper underlying issue. So let's dive right in and start with why you like approaching, you know, helping people leave toxic relationships, recognize they're in one through this lens of the subconscious.
So I think it's important for multiple different reasons, but I like to help people realize why it's happening because there's a lot of shame and they beat themselves up and they get frustrated with themselves. And sometimes when you can really understand why you're in the relationship, what led you to the relationship, and why you're staying or why you're struggling to get out, I think it allows you to move freely without shame as you're trying to figure it out. And it makes it easier to understand, okay, I'm not here because there's something wrong with me. I'm here because this is the template that was given to me because of either generational trauma or, you know, maybe something happened in your household or family, but somehow your template led you there and your subconscious is keeping you there because it's what it knows.
Let's talk about that template. What are some of the more common themes that pop up as far as keeping someone in a relationship that's toxic through the subconscious mind?
Okay, that's a loaded question because there are going to be so many different templates that can get you there. So it's not a one size fits all by any means. However, if you grew up in a home, let's just say, where there wasn't a lot of safety around, you had a parent that wasn't exactly emotionally available, for example, then you're going to be more prone to being in a relationship with someone that's not emotionally available. If you have someone that raised their voice or they tend to be unpredictable, you're going to find yourself in relationships with somebody that's unpredictable. Because what happens is we learn that dance. I like to use the analogy of an actual ballroom dance. If you're used to being led one way, you're going to continue to find relationships, no matter if it's romantic, friend, family, whatever it may be, that look that way because you already know those moves. It's easier for you to just step into that ballroom dance and continue doing that. And our subconscious is the one that's kind of driving us back to that same dance over and over.
Is it just because it's what we know, because it's familiar, comfortable?
Yeah. I mean, we have the subconscious. We talk a lot about the three brains, and I mean, lots of different experts have different words and things like that. Critter brain is typically how we refer to it, but where the subconscious lives. But essentially, you have your critter brain, your limbic system, and your cortex or human brain that we talk about at the relationship recovery. And your critter brain just knows you didn't die. It literally stems from the part of you that's just like, you didn't physically die, so let's keep repeating this. Even though if you're emotionally unhappy or you are in danger physically, you did not die. And so it knows that. And so it tends to keep driving you back to the same relationship over and over again, even if it's this, a different bag of bones, so to speak.
And it's like, I'm just thinking of that. I don't know. It's not a quote or a meme, but it's like, but did you die? You know, it's like.
Right. Exactly. That's how the subconscious works, is it just keeps you there over and over. And I mean, it, again, like we talked a little bit about shame in the beginning. Sometimes we try to shame that subconscious, and really it's just doing what it knows. And sometimes when we can kind of thank it and be grateful for it, as backwards as that sounds, it will calm down and like be like, okay, this is why we're doing this. And you can work with that a lot easier than if you're shaming it and always frustrated with like, oh, why do I keep doing this? And shaming yourself, because it's a part of you.
A lot of these things stem from our childhood. And you gave the example, you know, of a parent who's yelling. And yeah, there's going to be any number of different cases and scenarios. But maybe for the sake of, you know, a listener who, let's say that they're recognizing, yeah, I'm in a toxic relationship, and trying to identify where that comes from to release the shame and eventually leave. A common theme seems like it would be, you know, like an abusive parent in whatever form that takes. So maybe could you just give maybe some more examples, and they could be broad, they could be specific, but of how that can arise from a parent and how that plays out in an abusive relationship, why it feels good to be there, even though maybe the rational mind is like, hey, this isn't right, but then we stay.
Right. So you could also be dealing with something like a trauma bond. So a trauma bond is, I mean, just to simplify it, but you're literally almost addicted to the highs and the lows of the relationship. And that's what creates that bond. They've taken, you can research it, you can Google it, but they've actually taken the brain and compared somebody that has a trauma bond to somebody that has a drug addiction. And that can create that bond. And that can create that relationship to that person. And then you were talking about, and you'd asked like earlier in childhood and things like that. Your brain can, because you're addicted to those highs and lows, you can switch. I like to think of it almost like a different addiction type. Like typically if somebody's kind of got that addictive personality, you'll notice that they kind of pick up those addictions in multiple different places. And so if you've been inside of these highs and these lows as a child, like emotional highs and lows with a person that's, like I said, a parent that's unpredictable emotionally, you're going to be used to that later on. But you would ask for some other examples too. Sometimes you might have it happen generations back. Like I actually see this in my family line. My mom grew up in a really, you know, unfortunately abusive home. There was some physical abuse going on. There was alcoholic abuse going on, things like that. And she also had some other trauma as a child. Well, she didn't have the support and resources being born in the 50s, you know, teenager in the 60s. Their mental health really came to light in the last, you know, 10, 20 years. I know there's been more, but like really, I would say there's a lot more resources now. And so she didn't get a lot of the resources that I think she needed for the trauma she walked through for being a child in an abusive home. And so even generational, you know, it gets passed down generational that way. And even though she broke some of those generational trends, there's still things that I think she couldn't regulate. And because of that, I grew up with that piece. So even though from the outside looking in, people would go, well, there wasn't anything going on in your home. I mean, I don't come from a broken home. My dad's extremely stable. My mom's extremely loving, but there's things. And you just pick up on those cues. And then she took care of my grandmother who had Alzheimer's. Like, from the outside looking in, from like the traditional, like, well, there wasn't abuse in your home, but there still were things like she was distracted with taking care of my grandmother. So there were things where I became very independent and maybe some confusion. You know what I mean? So it doesn't always look like this traditional, like you came from an abusive home, so now you're going to be in an abusive relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned earlier, it's about just understanding these things to help release the shame to go, oh, okay, that's why I'm attracted to, you know, this person who ignores me, because I'm used to being independent. And it's so interesting. And a bit messed up how that can happen. I want to talk about sort of the other side of this is why it can feel boring or normal to be with someone who's secure and treats us well and pays attention to us, because that's ultimately what we want to get towards. Because I know there's circumstances, and I could say myself in different ways where, you know, it's like, I really like this person, but it's not super high. It's not super low. It's just like kind of the middle. Why can't we just kind of be okay with that?
Well, I really think it comes back to that template. Like, you're still running off that template. So you don't know, like, your system doesn't know that that's okay necessarily. And you're so used to chaos. So then almost like you'll create chaos. Like, we hear that all the time from our clients, or, you know, like, they're like, we never fight. So I'll go and pick a fight over something stupid because I'm so used to fighting. They're like, what's wrong with me? And like you're saying, this person's nice and great, but it's kind of boring because it's secure and safe. And so the good news is you can get out of that. I mean, you really can. Like, it's been proven in attachment styles that you can get to a secure place no matter what your attachment style is. And that's like a whole nother podcast in itself, right? But you can, a lot of that plays into that, where you just have to get to a place where your template, so to speak, changes, and you can work with your subconscious. You can work with your cortex and your limbic system and get all three of those brains lined up, like I was referencing, and you can be in that relationship you want to be in. You can be in that healthy relationship and not feel like you need to pick fights or feel like you need to create chaos or, you know, end the relationship and go find something chaotic again where you're unsafe. You just have to do that work.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach, integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does, by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
What does that work look like? What can someone that's listening who's like, yeah, I'm picking the fights, I recognize it, and I want to stop doing that, where can they start?
Well, I think it's really important first, make sure you have a good, we call it foundations of healing over the relationship recovery. Essentially, it's having, you know, you're pouring into yourself, you're doing good self-care, you have enough energy to actually do the quote unquote work that everybody talks about. And then you move into that work. And that work is figuring out where these trauma points are for you, identifying them, and then working within them and like really filling through that. And there's lots of different modalities out there to help you do that. We have our own over at the Relationship Recovery, but some other ones would be like EMDR therapy is so great. Parts work, if you're familiar with that, that's a great way to go too. But you could also go into inner child work, things like that. But essentially healing those trauma points so that filter changes out, your template changes we talked about, and really identifying where that's coming from. So then you can move forward and be at peace, because something's happened where like that deck of cards you were given, you're trying to play with that deck of cards and it's the only one you've been given. And so you just have to switch out your cards, and that's what doing the work is. And then identifying what you want moving forward so that you're intentional what you're moving into.
Yeah. So through your work with your clients, obviously everyone's going to have their own unique history and things that they're working to heal. But are there any particular areas where people tend to get stuck? Maybe it's just admitting that they have this trauma or whatever it is. And if there are some common themes, how you help people move through that recovery process, that healing process?
So I think a big thing where people get stuck is, again, then that shame. That's why I really spoke to that, is they shame themselves or they're not willing to turn inward. Sometimes that's another place people get stuck. They get so stuck on trying to fix the other person because they have some codependent tendencies, or they're so dependent on the person, or they're struggling to like really let go of what's happened to them. So they get stuck there versus, you know, releasing that person and then giving them responsible for their choices and going back to themselves and saying, okay, what led me into that relationship? Because that's a hard question. And it gets confusing too, because it's like, well, I'm not taking accountability for what this person's done to me or excusing it or saying it's my fault. That's a different thing. That's not the same statement. It's just saying, okay, what got me there? And it's a lot of self-awareness and reflection, and there's a willingness to do that work. And people don't want to sit in their stuff. I mean, especially here in the United States, we're always busy. We don't sit with our feelings and emotions. And a lot of it takes like sitting with it and identifying belief systems and things we're saying to ourselves and being patient through that process. But I would say one of the commonalities with my clients is they're like, oh, when I actually sat with it, the limbo and that stuck was way worse than actually identifying what it is. And a lot of time they find that it's not what they thought. It's like a small moment. It's not the big thing. It was like there was a small moment, and then it's easier to manage.
Certainly in the context of relationships and why they're so powerful, it seems to be a harder thing to point the finger inward first. Even if you're in a toxic relationship, in an unhealthy relationship that's objectively unhealthy, you know, verbal, physical abuse, I think, and again, I don't want to victim blame. I want that to be clear, but it could be like that person needs to change and then we'll be happy. They just need to stop abusing me. You know, they need to be nicer to me. They need to treat me this way. And those things can be true. Everyone deserves respect and kindness and not to be abused. But a different harder question individually is, why am I staying? Right. As you alluded to, because I've found myself in friendships and in romantic relationships that weren't great. And I had a tendency to point the finger in a sense of like, well, or to try to control and change mm-hmm. them. If only they would treat me this way, then we'll be happy. Then I can be happy. Then we'll succeed. Instead of going, well, they're going to do whatever, they're their own individual person. Why am I staying? Why am I feeling the need to change them? And again, if it's abuse, then you need to leave. But there's situations and relationships that it's not abusive, but it's not maybe healthy. It's not a good pattern. Maybe we deserve a more loving situation. And still just pointing that finger, it's been such a valuable practice for me, because ultimately I'm the only person that I can control. So I don't really have a question here, but I just wanted to share that because it's been so valuable. Are there any ways that you help your clients to really practice that turning inward continuously?
We do it in many different ways. First things like learning self-awareness in general. A lot of us are so disconnected because we're so involved in our relationships. So getting to know ourselves, being self-aware, I think is a huge step. Like first learning how to listen to your body, learning how to listen to your emotions, learning, what's true and what's not. Because sometimes when we're dealing with some of these extremes too, like these toxic relationships, there's been gaslighting and manipulation, and you just, first, it's connecting to yourself. And then once you're able to do that, then you can start listening for things like, oh, like typically there's like a negative thought that's coming up over and over. And that's usually connected to something. Like something happens and you're immediately doing that. And so you can start listening to some of your inner dialogue and pick up things there too. So that it's really just first getting self-aware. I think that's the most powerful tool. And then going from there.
You mentioned some tools within that, like listening to your body, feeling into it. Are there any particular exercises that you find really help people that are really struggling to connect inward, or maybe the first steps for someone listening to begin to do that better?
Yeah. So we have an app that just came out called Reclaim, and we have this in there. It's 7 days to peace, but there's some good tools there. But some of those things that you might find in there is first making sure you're in a good energy state. So doing things that uplift you versus deplete you, because when you're depleted, you are not going to be able to connect to yourself and really understand what you need and what you want. Because when we're in a really, especially when you've been in like fight or flight, or you've been in these toxic relationships, you're depleted. They're taking so much from you. So that's one piece. Making sure you have direction and a mantra of healing is what we call it, but like somewhere you're going. So like, what is it you actually want to do? Why are you trying to do this? Like finding your why, so to speak, but your why for healing. Like, why do I want to be in a healthy relationship? Why do I want to figure out if I need to stay or go? Doing those type of things can be super helpful, but, it's just so crucial to get back inside yourself and quit looking outward as much, and also knowing what's healthy and what's not. I think that's also crucial too. Like, start learning some of these terms. Like, if you feel like something's off in your relationship and you're not seeing a lot of willingness from your partner, then go explore some of these terms like gaslighting and, what is abuse? Because I think a lot of people that are actually in toxic or abusive relationships won't label themselves, because that's a hard place to be. You don't want to label it. So educating yourself on what it actually looks like. We don't learn this in school. We don't learn what a healthy relationship is really. And we don't know what red flags. I mean, more and more people are ending up in toxic or abusive relationships. The numbers are going up. They're not going down.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues, so they made one. Estrocontrol. Relationship advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estrogen Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estrogen Control eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estrogen Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estro Control is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estro Control works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's happymammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order. Hey, Love Tribe, I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
Let's talk a little bit about it. I know it deserves its own sort of podcast, but what is abuse? You know, someone listening who it's like, hey, maybe I'm in an abusive relationship, but I'm not sure. How do you help people talk them through understanding if they're in an abusive relationship?
Sure. So we share a lot of terminology, like on our Instagram at The Relationship Recovery or in our podcast. But really, first, it doesn't feel off to you is the first place to think. Does something feel wrong? So if there is something that feels wrong, then it explore more. Abuse might look like, obviously any sort of physical altercation, that's physical abuse, that's domestic violence. If somebody's laying hands on you, if it's leaving any, whether there's a mark or not too, people are like, oh, well, there's no bruise, there's no this. He just kind of pushed me to the side. He grabbed me. And it can be male or female, by the way. Whatever you identify as, it can be anybody. Okay. This is not just men against women. In fact, we see in other communities, sometimes abuse is actually higher than in the hetero world. So there's that too. Obviously anything that's a physical altercation, any psychological abuse, if you notice somebody will like, if you have one version of the story and you know that's your truth and they'll try to talk you out of it, that's psychological abuse. That can be manipulation. If actions aren't matching words, then that's manipulative. Gaslighting, if they're trying to talk you out of your own experience. If they're obviously using any, if they're screaming at you, they're raising your voice at you constantly. If they're calling you names, isn't belittling you in front of other people. All of these are markers, right? And sometimes we try to talk ourselves out of them. Or we blame ourselves and say, oh, well, if I wouldn't have done this, then they wouldn't have reacted that way. And if you're noticing you're doing that, if you're making excuses for someone's behavior, there could be either toxic elements or abuse present in the relationship.
And to someone listening who's identifying with some of the things you mentioned, what are the next steps? Because obviously there's a range of situations. And let's say, for the sake of this conversation, when should they be like, all right, I need to leave? And then when is it like, I need to address this, see how it develops, maybe we can fix it? Those are two different things.
Sure. I mean, obviously, if you're in danger, please seek help. I mean, there's so many good resources out there. It doesn't look like people have been worried about shelters and things that are like, you know, they picture one thing, but there's so many really amazing communities out there. We like to work with FADV.org. They can point you in lots of different directions as far as like, if you have physical abuse and your life is in danger or you are noticing things are escalating physically, please remove yourself from that. Please reach out. There's so many resources, even if you're in a financial circumstance, which that could be a whole nother podcast too. Financial abuse is really prevalent in control. That is domestic violence. It's not okay. It's a domestic abuse. The other thing, if you're noticing, okay, maybe mine's not physical, but something's off in the relationship and there's some unhealthy patterns or toxic patterns, first see if your partner is willing to talk about it or do something about it. Because toxicity can live in relationships that aren't in an extreme, like we've been talking about a little bit. Toxicity can live in, because sometimes people just don't know it's toxic or they don't know how to communicate. If there's a willingness to change and do work and maybe bring in somebody, fantastic. Like, we have a course called Should I Stay or Should I Go? And part of that is your partner willing to work with you? Are they willing to show up and do the work? And then the other part is, we actually have a rule. We don't tell somebody to leave a relationship. A lot of people are kind of shocked by that. They're like, well, you don't. I mean, unless, like we talked about, you're in harm's way, that's a totally different scenario. But it's about empowering yourself and knowing what feels good to you and what doesn't. And so really just starting to get self-aware of what you want in a relationship.
So let's say someone goes to their partner and wants to address the toxicity. Could you share like what that conversation might sound like? I always think it's valuable to kind of have scripts for our listeners.
Sure. So first thing is, don't go about it being accusatory necessarily. As soon as you attack somebody, or if somebody feels under attack, their walls go up immediately, right? If you go into it and say, you're gaslighting me, which gaslighting is like the number one word of 2022. I don't know if you knew that. It was the word of the year, but it's used so wrong. It's become slang. So really understand what a term is before you use it towards your partner too. But really focus on yourself. Hey, when this happened, it made me feel this way. And I've noticed a pattern in our relationship. So for example, like, hey, I noticed when I try to address something with you, you get really defensive and it makes me feel like I can't open up and be vulnerable with you. And I've noticed this is a pattern. I'd really love for us to do something about it because I feel like it's hurting our relationship. And just really staying either focused on the relationship or you and how you feel versus like, this is wrong. Like, yes, you're going to say that the behavior you don't like, but as soon as you make it, you make the behavior of the person's identity, and like I tie those together, they're going to feel under attack. So trying to stay away from that place of attacking them and attacking who they are and really focusing on the issue at hand or the behavior or the pattern, I think is super crucial. And then inviting a solution. Go into it with a solution, not just what should we do, but come in with some ideas and be open to hear what they are going to say too. I would also really encourage you to try to stay focused on one subject, because sometimes what will happen is you go to the partner and they're like, well, but you do this. Try to drive it back and say, hey, you know, I'm really willing to hear what you are upset about, but let's just focus on one issue at a time. Because if we go on too many, we're just going to cause harm and we need to step away, and it's not going to help with the issue at hand.
So certainly having a third party, a therapist, can be valuable in these scenarios. But let's say that aside, we go to a partner, we use some of the dialogue you said, and they're just defensive, or there's not a problem here, I don't want to talk about it. Is that kind of a situation where it's a dead end road?
I mean, you've got to decide how long you're going to deal with that, right? I mean, if there's not a willingness to work in a relationship, I think that's usually one of the biggest signs that you're in an unhealthy relationship, because a relationship's a two-way street. The big thing is turn inward and start working on you. Decide how long you're going to deal with that, because the truth is once you start working on you and what your patterns are and you're showing up for the relationship, it's like a rubber band. The rubber band, the person will either snap up with you and you guys will get through it together, or the rubber band will break because you're moving forward. And you just can't, I mean, life's short. You can't stay in something where there's not a willingness to show up in a relationship. And I think that is one of the telltales of whether a relationship's healthy or not, at least healthy for you too. Like, everybody's healthy relationship's going to look different in what they want, right? Mine might look different than yours, Chase, and that's okay. But if there's I think willingness is actually one of the number one things of what I would put in the healthy relationship label. If I had to do a generic label of what's healthy, it's definitely the willingness to do the work.
Yeah. And that's important, because we've talked a lot about what is negative and toxic, and that's important. But it's also like, ask yourself, well, what do I want? What is healthy is equally important, not just to be like, you know, I'm going to run away from the negative, which we should once we're able to recognize that. But then what are we reaching for? Even if it's in that relationship, it's like, all right, we don't want this, but what do we want individually and in the partnership?
Yeah. And I think a great way to figure that out is if you know a relationship, even if it's like a far away relationship, but you've seen them together and they seem like they have great communication. Heck, even if it's if one on a movie or something like that. I mean, obviously movies and things like that are unrealistic, but have some sort of idea of what you want and notice how they feel or how they communicate or what words do they use around each other, or what seems to be what going on from the outside, and then build from there.
Excellent. Well, Kirsten, I think we covered a lot today. It's super valuable information for our listeners. Before we wrap up, is there anything that maybe we skipped over or you want to emphasize? And also, if you could tell our listeners where they can find you online.
Sure. So I think the big thing is just be gentle with yourself. Don't shame yourself for being in these relationships. Don't shame your relationship, even if there are patterns that feel unhealthy. And obviously, if something really extreme is going on, again, I just think it's so important that you get the help you need. Life is short. You don't need to spend time in a toxic or unhealthy relationship. And we only get this one life. So you want to, and your relationships are a huge part of that. So make sure that you're living in one that you want. And then you can find me at Frankly Kirsten, or my company is at The Relationship Recovery with my business partner, Tiffany Denny. And that's where you can find all the resources about relationships. We also have an app called Reclaim You, which is now out in the App Store and was just recently featured in Tech Times.
Awesome. Well, we will have those links in our show notes and on our website. And thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.